this go around, let's see some more manpower, let's see some more equipment, let's be able to make it a safer operation. Let's get some people there that can provide support for the others in the field now. That's been our position.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Representative Thompson and Mr. Taylor. Just pause for 15 seconds. Okay, let's do it. Mr. Taylor, thank you very much. I would invite you to meet with committee staff and discuss some of these issues, help flesh out concerns of the department, and make your recommendations regarding how we can improve enforcement. The other theme that has been so telling at this meeting has been the need for more protection, period, and getting your views on how we could accomplish that, both within and aside from existing budgets, would be appreciated.
I thank you. I'm not sure that I answered Representative Thompson's question specifically in regard to that, filling these vacant spots with those positions with, I guess, referred to aid. I think what he referred to as aid. And we were opposed to that. You know, in looking at the recruitment bulletin for the required qualifications for someone to do that, we don't feel that that is the kind of qualifications that the people want for full-time professional wildlife enforcement. They're really minimal compared to what's required now. We don't think that the people of the state would really be happy with that type of arrangement.
Thank you very much, sir. I think we better take the two witnesses in Juneau who have been waiting to testify for the last week and ask you to stay with us. As you know, there'll be some informal discussion for 15 minutes, beginning in 5 minutes after we adjourn. Thank you again for coming down and for your time today. We have Mr. Paddock here to testify. Go right ahead, sir. Come up and join us. Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Gall, Mr. Thompson, my name is Dean Paddock. This morning I'm speaking on behalf of the Bristol Bay Drift Netters Association. I've been monitoring these hearings carefully and with a great deal of interest. In consideration of your time constraints, I'm going to modify my oral testimony this morning and we'll have to submit written statements to each member of the subcommittee. But I would like to briefly say this morning that we desperately need to increase the general level of fish and wildlife enforcement. And my concerns are primarily commercial fisheries and sport fisheries enforcement. But we need to up the general level, or at least we've needed to do this desperately in the area in which I'm acquainted, and that is Bristol Bay. And with equal desperation, we need to increase the quality of that enforcement. My group will support legislative allocation of additional funds to make this possible. We don't think that the attempt to substitute for lack of an adequate enforcement program punitive and confiscatory retaliation through the courts is a very productive approach, and all too often that's what we've had. The apparent whimsical and capricious nature of much of fish and wildlife enforcement in the area that I'm acquainted with has in the past and will in the future encourage the serious violator to take a chance regardless of the consequences. By the nature of their violation, the serious violator has too often escaped apprehension because of the type of enforcement we usually have when the program is inadequate. We need adequate, consistent, knowledgeable enforcement. And if it costs more money to get it than we've allocated in the past, so be it. we're going to have to spend it. We want to strongly support the retention of a healthy, separate entity trained to work with wildlife resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Paddock. Any questions, Representative? Appreciate all your patience in waiting to testify, and your comments will become a part of the record.
Well, we will submit a written statement.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that, sir.
Which will include much of what I would have liked to have said this morning, Peter.
Excellent. Again, I'm sorry about the time limitation here. I'm afraid that we may find ourselves going for about 6 weeks of hearings, the way things are looking. So, Mr. Cadigan, would you care to speak in behalf of the UFA?
My switch is already on. My name is Jack Cadigan. I'm Executive Director of United Fishermen of Alaska. In order to avoid beating that proverbial horse totally beyond recognition, I'd like to just submit the following for consideration. I think the committee should consider what is perhaps the uniqueness of this particular hearing insofar as you're finding a commercial industry, both commercial charter boat people as well as commercial fishermen, who are seeking more, not less, enforcement. I would submit this is rather unusual in an industry. I don't quite get the same sense out of our cohorts in the oil industry and some other industries that they are deliberately seeking more and stricter enforcement. And I think this is healthy, and I think it's in recognition of the resource, because we all are aware that this is Alaska's biggest private sector employer, and that this is perhaps certainly one of our most important resources, and certainly right up there in the renewable resource. I'd like to also note that not only does the testimony support that, but that as you peruse the Bristol Bay Native Association report of their 800 respondents, roughly 800 respondents in the fisheries, there's only 10% who desired less enforcement, and that was quite heavily enforced last year. And over 50% saw a need for even more enforcement than they already had. The remaining thought at least that last year's level was about correct. There clearly would appear to be a need for some type of immediate actions, and this was discussed at our board of directors meeting. It was also come as inputs, which your board has from some of our member organizations out there in writing, as well as from some of our people out there in verbal testimony. At a very minimum, we would see a need for maintenance of the current level, certainly no reduction. There also would appear to be a need for a pipeline training or some sort of remedial training or renewal of training for people when they first get into the shifting from the blue shirt to the brown shirt. There also would appear to be a need for a prioritization of enforcement, specifically that the majority of the effort should be devoted to violations which flagrantly flaunt the efforts of the resource management versus perhaps what would appear sometimes as undue emphasis on the minuscule and the technical violations, as opposed to those which do indeed deplete the resource and take unfair advantage over others. So, in the long range, of course, there would appear to be some sort of need for reorganization of the system. I'm not going to speak to the nuts and bolts of that. It's been heavily spoken to, but it would appear that the system itself needs some reconsideration in order to maintain a good level, if not better level, of enforcement. And lastly, I think, as has been brought out in the testimony, that this should be recognized that although there's been a heavy emphasis on commercial fisheries in this, perhaps because that's where that's where it's most visible, that there also has been testimony of the impact on this on tourism, on the sport fisheries, and on the commercial charter end of things. So I thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Cadigan. Just one question, if I might. One of the issues I mentioned to Mr. Taylor that we're going to be moving into after we finish this posting concern that's occupied so much of our time is the question of training with regard to commercial fishing operations. Do you have any sense from your membership, or possibly someone else in the audience might wish to comment on it, as to whether or not specialized training in the management of commercial fishing operations, so that the enforcement entities can be most effective, is required, or if you have some other recommendation on how the enforcement effort, given personnel levels that we have today, could be improved, made more efficient, more effective. Any comment on that?
Yes, I do, but I'd like to demur on that because that was discussed at length at two of our board meetings, Mr. Chairman, and the president of our United Fishermen of Alaska is here, Bob Blake.
I'd like to ask Mr. Blake if he's prepared to comment on that or would prefer to defer to another time.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment.
I'd appreciate
particularly
it.
On that.
Please do, sir. Come forward. I'm going to take your testimony now, ask you if you have any comments on that. If not, take your testimony in general. And then with the conclusion of your testimony, this meeting will be adjourned at 4:25, and Representative Thompson will remain to have some informal discussions with Mr. Roberts and others who may wish to come forward. Please proceed, Mr. Blake. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Blake, and I'm president of the United Fishermen of Alaska, also president of the Cordova District Fishermen United. And last, as Jack stated, the UFA went over this issue. Last week, we spent 5.5 hours in Cordova, two of which were on this particular issue, and I'd like to comment more on that at this time. And it also includes some of the comments, my testimony includes some of the feelings and comments I've got from talking with Fish and Wildlife Protection officers around the state on this issue. It's a very critical issue as far as fishermen in Alaska are concerned, as you well know, and we certainly appreciate you taking all this time. One thing that I found out was that Fish and Wildlife Protection officers appear to want to stay within the Department of Public Safety, not be separated out with their own department. Most I talk to desire to be further separated from the Blue Shirts, and with delineation of duties similar to those defined in Senate Bill 419. Fish and Wildlife officers that I and others talk to feel the basic training at the Academy is beneficial. However, at some point in their training, brown shirt trainees have to break away from the blue shirt training. Most feel that the requirement of at least 1 year as a blue shirt on-job training should not be mandatory for brown shirts. We found that the morale in the brown shirt division is apparently low and will undoubtedly get lower if most of the legitimate concerns are not turned around. The present bidding system causes extreme concern within the division. Professional Fish and Wildlife Protection officers feel they are being totally absorbed and will eventually be eliminated by the blue shirts. There is concern of future results from the Academy, as there is apparently no longer any real brown shirt influence within the Academy. The leadership of Fish and Wildlife Protection should be a brown shirt that has at least spent some time within the ranks, not a senior blue shirt or a political appointee, a person cannot that comes from some police department. A person cannot change his or her long-term ingrained attitude simply by changing a job title, and this would be applicable back through the ranks, down through the ranks. Assuming that Fish and Wildlife Division will stay within the Department of Public Safety, then we need a guarantee that the leader of the brown shirts have the same title, rank, and ability to promote his division's interests as the blue shirt leader has. I have heard in the rumor mill that Colonel Henderson is slated to be the last person with that rank in Fish and Wildlife Protection. I've also heard that after Lieutenant Colonel Tetzloff retires, that that will be the end of that rank, leaving, as I understand, the top rank within the division as that of Major. Well, it certainly doesn't compete with a colonel in the Blue Shirt Division. If this is actually being planned, and I really feel it should be investigated, it will leave the divisions subservient to the blue shirts and further reduce the morale and ability. In discussions with brown shirts around the state, I got a very distinct feeling that brown shirts are doing a lot of blue shirt work and blue shirts are not reciprocating, and that's something that, you know, we have heard testimony on. Those are That closes my comments, Mr. Chairman, at this time.
Thank you, sir. That second to last one was certainly something I hadn't heard and would have a profound effect on the department and certainly would relate directly to the concerns expressed over the teleconference today. And we will look into that in depth. Again, I'd like to thank you and everybody for the time you've taken to give public comment. I suspect that the way this thing is going, we're going to be opening up for more public comment at a later date. What we're going to do now is kind of regroup our strategy. We've, I think, obtained sufficient comment on the issues of posting and job development. And now we're going to look into some of the other areas I mentioned. Tomorrow we'll be concentrating on the budget. That particular hearing will not be teleconferenced, and we'll also set the tone for the next couple of hearings, which will wrap us up. Later in March or beginning of April, the committee will publish recommendations to the department, the administration, and to the legislature. And we'll submit those comments and draft for review by the various entities that have expressed interest. And if any individual wishes a copy of those comments, they should contact the committee at the address and phone number given or ask your teleconference moderator for directions. Mr. Blake, Mr. Cadigan, Mr. Paddock, Mr. Taylor, all of you out there on the line, this is Representative Gall thanking you again. The meeting is adjourned. Representative Thompson will continue on the line for a little while to hold some informal discussions. Mr. Blake,
Mr. Chairman, I just want to express the opinion of an awful lot of people around this state.
Excuse me, sir. I just have to correct for the record. We are not adjourned. We are recessed until 8:45 tomorrow morning. Go right ahead, sir.
And Mr. Chairman, I again want to express the sincere appreciation of myself and all the people that you've heard from. This issue is extremely critical. We know that it's taking a tremendous amount of time. And we really appreciate the fact that this committee is willing to dedicate that time in order to do the proper job so that we, when you finally come down with your findings, it will be something that will correct things that are that are not right within the Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection, and we'll have something much better for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob. Your kind words are appreciated by the members of the committee and will be conveyed to each member. Dave, just take 5 minutes because just to let Roberts or whatever it is you want to, because I've been telling everybody you would, okay? And, all right. Where you got to go?
Go ahead.
I'm going to turn it over now to Representative Thompson.